On round one today, Amanda Galbraith is here from Navigator Communications, formerly a spokesperson for the mayor of Toronto. Michael Taube is a former speechwriter to the prime minister, now a syndicated columnist. We also have Barb DiGiulio, host of The Night Side, although in for Jerry Agar again today from 9 to noon, and Christy Blatchford from The National Post. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Christy, of course, you're not in the studio, so you can't see it, but I'm going to hold up a T-shirt for everybody here, and this is the proposed logo, I guess, from one T-shirt company. Toronto Strong is the hashtag. It's a very nice stylized skyline of our city. Mm-hmm. And the company producing it says if you buy one of these, 100% of the proceeds will go to the victims. There are multiple ways of reflecting on this. Barb DiGiulio, I'll start with you. I think it's kind of nice. I imagine a lot of people would want to get their hands on that just for that feeling of solidarity. But it also kind of reminds me of when something like this happens and some singer who's never been able to make it comes out with a commemorative song and makes sure that every single radio station gets an MP3.
I think when it comes to things like this, I know what you're saying. You have to be careful because there are some people or some groups that take a tragedy like this and somehow find a way to make it about themselves. If you are selling T-shirts, though, and those are, I would say, quite understated, as long as 100% of the proceeds are going to the victims and the victims' families, then I'm a little more okay with that.
Yeah, and Amanda, they note, even in their publicity package, that they're going to have themselves audited by an external company just to keep them honest.
Yeah, I think that, and if they do all those steps, I think that's great. The city has actually launched its own sort of charitable thing for people to donate to work with victim services. So I would also encourage people to check that out too, because that's really an actual, you know, it's very audited by city people and bureaucrats and all that kind of stuff. But I think either initiative is great, and I think people are coming together in the city, and it's lovely.
Yeah, and that's topped $1 million as of this morning, which is great news.
Sure. I mean, very quickly, it's private enterprise, which is nice to see. They're donating all the proceeds, which is the right way to handle it. As Barb said, it's very understated. It has a small hashtag. It's a nice thing to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Yes, sometimes there are nefarious reasons for creating these types of projects. I don't think this is one of them.
Yeah, Christy, there will be a memorial on Sunday night, and without patting ourselves on the back too much, I just think the the understatedness of how Toronto has not convulsed, of how we've responded since Monday, I think is very positive.
It is indeed. I think the city's responded really well, just as other cities before us have responded equally well. London, Paris, New York City, etc. I mean, this is how normal people in an awful situation, most of them respond. So I'm glad to know it's true here, too.
So we got peace between North and South Korea, although I love that the two of them shook hands at the border, which is incredibly symbolic. But then the dictator of North Korea actually got into his limousine and went home for lunch to his own country, I guess. And also not only that, but I actually retweeted the video of it because he rides in an armored limousine and then 12 guys run beside it who must be the best shape bodyguards around. But, I mean, Michael.
Yeah.
This is possibly historic stuff.
Oh, of course
and
it is.
Does some of the credit go to Donald Trump? Or
fake
do you know?
News.
Actually, it's not fake news. On this one, no, he deserves some of the credit. You know, as much as we attack him, and I tend to be pretty middle of the road on Trump. I praise him when I do, and I criticize him when I don't like what he says or some of his behavior. This is an instance where, believe it or not, his nutty foreign policy strategy of just pounding away at an issue actually made some sense, and it did help to some degree, either with the Chinese or either with the North Koreans or whatnot. We're not still obviously sure whether Kim Jong-un's intentions are honorable, meaning that is he just doing this for publicity like his father did many years ago at the United States, and when push comes to shove and they have their meeting in a few weeks' time, he's just going to walk away from it. But at the same time, whether you like Trump or not, you got to bite your tongue on this one. It did work a little bit because we would not have seen something like this happen under any other president, and that includes Hillary Clinton, had she won.
Christy, this is bringing to an end the Korean War, in which it should be noted 516 Canadians died in some of the most vicious fights since the Second World War.
Yep. At the Olympics 2 months ago, I went up to the DMZ and stared across at North Korea the way that you do at these things, so I'm glad I went. And I think this is, if nothing else happens, but that they formally end the state of war, because it never did end, then that's a good thing. And I think there's reason to be optimistic that more will follow. So, yay.
All right. Let's move from global affairs to a few other things. How about this, actually? The way that police solved the Gold State Killer case in California is almost gobsmacking. They had DNA from the 70s and 80s when this man was raping and assaulting men and women, as a matter of fact. And then what they did was they submitted it to one of those crazy websites where they test your DNA and say, hey, you might be related to this and or that. They came up with 100 hits, narrowed it down, finally got their guy. Amanda, basically genius police work, taking what most of us regard as a game and upping the stakes.
I think it's awesome. Yeah, like good for these guys. I mean, also, these people should be caught. And if they can't get them through the normal system, they got innovative and it worked. And, you know, some criminal or whoever is entering stuff into Ancestry.ca or their associates, then, you know, that's Darwin is its best.
Has anybody here submitted their DNA?
I have not.
No.
But I've heard of people doing it. And I'll tell you, part of me has always thought, is that really legit? Or are they just sending you something back going, you're 23% British and whatever? So now I'm actually believing it. I think this is very cool.
I think it's perfectly fine. I mean, obviously, there is the issue of the invasion to privacy, which a lot of people will say that naturally they're going into something which is a private record and you're taking it. But look at the purpose it's being used for. Imagine if there was a database, for example, in the days of Jack the Ripper, the Zodiac Killer, or others. We would have ended these things very early on. I think this is actually great. And as someone who really believes in the right to privacy, I like seeing things like this. It's, as Amanda said, it's innovative, it's logical, and I think we need more of it.
And Christy, this reminds me of the Unabomber miniseries where they profiled a guy who invented a whole new way of profiling people, and he ultimately figured out who the Unabomber is. I mean, I have to think there's a TV movie waiting with this case.
Yeah, probably there is. I think it was innovative and smart, and it worked. And I think, honestly, concerns about privacy in the modern world are absolutely theoretical.
Yeah.
I agree. And I don't know that they breached any privacy, because what they did was there was some chicanery. They pretended to be an individual when they submitted the DNA. But then on a publicly accessible website, they said, here are the possible people who are related to this DNA sample or related to you. So it's not like they went and got a warrant.
It's just the entree, the initial start of it, John, is the only thing that's a little dicey. But again, it's for a good purpose. There's nothing wrong with it.
Police poses 12-year-old girls in order to catch pedophiles. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff they need
that's
to
true.
Do.
That's true. No, I agree.
Hey, Metrolinx is thinking of allowing us to pay with smartphones.
Look at this! Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow.
My God, it could be.
I've never heard of anything
weird
like that.
But wait a second, it's going to take years.
Yeah, they say it's on about a 5-year horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess everybody has the same response.
We're happy.
I've done a little detective work myself because I happen to...
Yes. Were you a 12-year-old?
No, I'm not a 12-year-old, but I actually happen to live with someone who's been working in IT for many, many years. And I just sent a quick text this morning and I said, really, what is the guideline? What is the longest it would take to roll something like this out if this was a private sector? Less than a year.
I don't want to hear this, but okay.
Less than a year.
Yeah. I have some sympathy though, because, you know, you sit in this committee process, and Amanda, you were at City Hall for, you know, a year trying to figure out what the best option is, and then you choose it, and then they manufacture it, and then they install it, and it's already been obviated by something else.
Yeah, absolutely. That did happen, particularly, I think, with the implementation of Presto, right? It took so long that now it's there, open
page. And it's so good.
It's still a mess. Exactly.
It's not a mess. I use it every day.
I have my Presto card, and generally I find it's very good when it's working.
When it's working.
And then, but it's half the time. The nice thing though is they let you on, which is helpful. So yesterday I went to tap and the tap wasn't working. They were like, proceed. Yeah. I was like, okay, free ride.
Although I'm a fare jumper by accident, because I was taking the GO train, which I don't usually do. And I thought there'd be a fare reader in the train and there wasn't.
Yeah.
So I spent a 30-minute ride going, please don't let there be a fare inspector, please don't. I'm a criminal, admittedly. Tom Brokaw is the latest person to be accused of sexual impropriety. This comes from a former war correspondent, says she was a rookie and that he tried to kiss her. Here she is.
And I said, what do you want from me? And he said, an affair of more than passing affection. And I said, you're married. And I'm Catholic. And he gave me this look of such annoyance with all the body language I can muster that I'm terrified. I don't want him here. I'm not interested.
Of course, when he said that, it would have sounded like, I want an affair.
But I'm Catholic.
Christy,
no.
You're kind of, I'll let you go first on this because, I mean, it's greasy and uncomfortable, but it's not the same thing as stepping naked out of a shower and saying, do something or you don't get a movie role.
First of all, it is alleged to have been greasy and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Yes. Secondly, at the very worst, Brokaw would have twice asked this woman or twice kissed this woman against her will. She claims to have been fearful. She was 28 years old when it happened. She was a Fulbright scholar, or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She was reasonably mature, reasonably accomplished. And yet she, when he would make these passes at her, that's what it is alleged to have been. He was making passes at her. She kept saying, I don't want you to come. And then he'd come to her door or something a couple of times and she let him in. And then they sat uncomfortably, honest to Pete. And then later in her truth, she described what had happened, the forced kissing, as an attack. Now, look, I'm not saying it isn't greasy behavior if it happened. But what I'm saying is don't carry on as though it were an actual attack. It wasn't. Good grief.
All right, is everyone on the same page?
I will say, yeah. I mean, I think when to Chrissy's point, alleged, I think is a very important thing we should say about all of this.
Although I don't think he's listening.
Yeah. True.
Probably
Hello,
not.
Tom, never know.
How are you? I will listen, I think abuse of power is something that we all need to have conversations about. Like
we have nothing but conversations about
it. I know. Trust me, I'm on this every Friday with you too. I feel like every other week.
God,
we have this,
sit
but
quietly.
It's probably because it's happening, right? And I know it's happened to, and I'm a pretty strong woman in a professional environments, and my friends are like that as well. And you know, these things make you uncomfortable, and you don't know how it works with your, how is it going to affect your promotion, and how can you work in the newsroom and that kind of stuff. And I think back then, I would imagine the checks and balances that are there today were not in place. So I'm sure this was probably pretty difficult for her. Obviously, she's held on to it.
I think this is something that does happen. And to Amanda's point, yes, I know that people, look, I've been there myself. I have been in situations like this where there's that kind of thing about, you know, this is the person that can be responsible for you getting ahead. However, the reason I, and many others, I'm sure, don't come forward with all these stories is because I don't put this in the same category as Bill Cosby.
Sure. Yeah. No. It's not even close. Exactly.
No, Bill Cosby got his comeuppance yesterday. And
yes,
I thought,
he did.
Oh, yeah.
What a moment when he finally ended the 50-year nice guy act and called somebody an a-hole in open court.
Exactly.
So fitting.
Thank you, everybody. Very lively, as always. Round one. We didn't get to the crosswalks that spray you with water. We'll put that on the agenda for round two.